to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. And stop by, see Matt, huge Jayhawk fan, and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian Haney is with us, the voice of the Jayhawks, getting ready for the Big 12 opener tomorrow night in Austin against the Texas Longhorns. You have a good Christmas, Brian?
Sure did. Thanks very much, Wade. How was yours?
It was good. We survived. I ate lots of pie, and I think I need to go to the wellness center and work out 24/7 for the next week and a half, and I should have it all burned off.
Lots of pie, huh? What kind of pie do they serve?
My favorite is the vanilla cream pie or the chocolate cream pie. Ooh. I'm a very plain type of guy. I don't want nuts in it or anything like that. I'm un-American. I will not eat apple pie. I'm not a peach pie big fan of that. I just like the regular cream pies.
Well, I'm with you on the no nuts and the pie thing, but I don't know, man. You're missing out on the whole apple boycott.
I know.
That's a great pie you're missing out on, man. But I'm glad you had a good holiday, my man.
Well, you too. I hear you've been battling a little bit of sickness. You feeling better now?
Oh, yeah. I've had like two waves over the last month. It's been a rough winter already, but doing good, battling through, and, you know, it's one of those things. You don't really take off days this time of year, so you just suck it up and get after it.
Yeah,
so let's do it.
It's only going to get colder, unfortunately, here in the next few days ahead, but things are going to heat up on the hardwood. KU getting ready for the Big 12 opener, and they'll take on Texas tomorrow night. First of all, before we talk about the Longhorns and the Big 12 conference race, give us an update on where things stand with D'Souza and Preston, because I get asked that almost every single day by Jayhawk fans.
Yeah, well, Silvio's here. Got in night before last. Got to meet him yesterday. He's every bit the 6'9", 245 that most list him at. Delightful kid to talk to. I can't imagine how much his head is spinning right now. But think about it.
Yeah.
You fly somewhere the day after Christmas, and in a 24-hour span, you got to get your picture taken for your student ID, enrolled in classes. You meet all your teammates. You meet all your coaches. You're handed a playbook. They have two practices yesterday, by the way. You're introduced to your new dorm, your new roommate. You get outfitted in a bunch of gear. I don't know, man. There's plenty of other things I'm leaving out. And then there's obviously the amateurism issue between the overall of this. The reason why we don't know about when we're going to see him play for the first time. And it won't likely be on Friday night at Texas. And it's not anything to worry about. It's just, you know, when you have a guy that reclassifies, you know, they have to go through a certain NCAA approval process. First on the academic side, then on the amateur side, and they have 100% confidence this will be handled pretty quickly. But to have it be handled in the midst of the winter break with the NCAA offices closed until January 2nd, and to hear back on all that before Friday night, probably not likely. So he has been working out with the guys. I'm not sure if he'll travel today or not. I would think that he might, but I don't want to speculate. But Bill Self told me yesterday in a TV interview he did not expect him to play in the Texas game, and they'd see, you know, what happens with Texas Tech on the 2nd. But obviously he's going to be a great addition once he gets in the lineup. But he gives you so many more options in terms of playing with two bigs now, because, you know, it's not that you can't play with Doak and Mitch, but you have nobody behind Doak and Mitch, so therefore you can't do it. And in this case, you absolutely can, and I think while he's going to take probably 3 or 4 weeks to truly get acclimated and settle in, Kansas could be a much different team come February as they head into the real stretch run that determines how we remember these seasons. Obviously, you want to be as good as you can be in January, because 14 straight is on the forefront of everyone's mind around here, and you've got three really tough road games in Austin, Fort Worth, and West Virginia in the first 2.5 weeks of your conference slate. But regardless of what happens with Billy, regardless of what happens with how quickly Silvio comes along, I think this Kansas team will certainly be of a top 10, maybe top 5 ilk nationally by the time February rolls around, because everything that you would have poked at as a concern, vulnerability, deficiency will have been answered by then, and maybe the answer twofold if you get Billy Preston back on top of that. I don't have an update for you on Billy. Coach Self has been saying for a couple of weeks now, hey, we're going to do something soon. Yesterday the comment was he feels very confident we'll hear something very soon, one way or another. And they're just happy to get some kind of, if not closure, some type of definitive news on what the next step is. That's how he phrased it, what the next step may be. And they still remain optimistic. like I told you, Billy himself has done nothing wrong. Nobody at Kansas basketball has done anything wrong. And so, you know, they're hopeful. But as long as this is taken, obviously folks are a little antsy, too, just to get a decision. But Billy's a great kid. I hope we get to see him this year. And if so, man, you go from outhouse to penthouse in terms of big man depth. And it's a completely different-looking team and an absolute national title contender and one of the national title favorites if you could add both those guys to the mix. And they both get to where we think they can get to over their first 3 to 4 weeks of acclimation.
Is there any idea what the holdup is? I mean, NCAA, it's hard to figure them out. They're many times not very consistent in some of their rulings, and we've seen people like Jay Billis and others be very critical of the NCAA, not clearing guys, clearing other guys. What's the sense of frustration, or I wouldn't even say disappointment. I would guess there's some growing frustration there. Are you there, Brian? Yep, I think we lost Brian. I can hear beeping in the background, but I can't hear Brian.
Sorry about that.
Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
There we go.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, I can't dive too much into it without, you know, saying more than perhaps I should, sure. Other than the fact that, you know, Kansas had a certain amount of work they had to do on their end from a compliance standpoint to make sure all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. Mm-hmm. And then from a NCAA standpoint, once you hand it over to them, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
We've seen situations that you know, resolved expeditiously, and others that seem to take 2-3 months. And you would think something like this, a high-priority case with a blue-blood program and a 5-star recruit, top 10 guy nationally, would take precedent, but that's not the way they look at it. That's not the way they operate. And Kansas can call them every day, the same exact time, asking for an answer, and that's not going to speed anything along. Coach Self joked yesterday when Gary Bedore asked him if he had an update. He said, "No, I've not heard anything." And then he said, "Actually, no, I called the NCAA offices at 8:01 this morning and got a happy holidays recorded message." And so, you know, I think he was wanting to, whether he was being serious about that or not, kind of plant the seed that we're checking every day, okay? But they're also at the mercy now of the NCAA and their timing. And I think for Kansas, you know, at this point, the hay's in the barn. They've done all they can. And hopefully we'll get real good news real soon.
Well, it would be nice to get some closure one way or the other so you can move forward, whether he's going to be a part of the team or not. I'm with you on all that. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Okay, the Big 12. I think before the season began, some people thought the Big 12 was going to be down. KU was just going to cruise to a 14th straight conference title. And then we learn more about Trae Young and what Oklahoma's doing. TCU's off to a fantastic 12-0 start. Texas should have probably beaten Duke. I watched that game and could have easily beaten Duke earlier this year. And West Virginia's really good. And we saw K-State. They probably should have beat Arizona State in Vegas. And Arizona State beat KU in Lawrence. I could go through every single team pretty much in the Big 12 and make a case that, you know, Texas Tech's off to a good start. How difficult is it going to be for Kansas to get that 14th in a row?
Very difficult. I mean, when you consider the fact that there's six teams ranked in the top 21, 22, depending on which pool you look at, and that two more that are in the first five or six receiving votes, so essentially eight teams in the top 31, that's nuts. I mean, that, you know, Kansas is one of those, so seven of your nine opponents, meaning almost every single night you're taking on a team that are ranked or nearly ranked. And if you just look at the teams in the top 21, six of them, five of your opponents comprise those six, meaning every other night it is a team with a number next to its name. If you go back and listen to the tapes of our conversations back in October, I told you that I thought there were a lot of really good teams in this league that were like B-plus caliber teams ranked 2 through 8 in the Big 12 pecking order, but there wasn't another true elite top five type team. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be interesting to see if one would emerge. Well, if we could amend that, everything I said back in October, I stand by, but I would say you've got a lot of A-minus caliber teams, quite frankly now, 2 through 8. And it, really, if you want to break it down, I think you've got clubs 2 through 7 that could compete to win this league. I don't think Oklahoma State will, but I think Texas could. And I don't think K-State and Iowa State will, but I think any of those other ranked teams could compete to win this league.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Self said it yesterday. He thinks the 13-5 will win this thing outright. And he said there's going to be nights, or weeks rather, where good teams lose two games, because that's how tough this league is. So for Kansas, as I've been telling folks ever since we started to look ahead at the Big 12 schedule, with Austin, Fort Worth, and Morgantown all coming up in these first 2 weeks, man, if you told me we could have two of those three games right now, I'd head to the bank, put it in the safety deposit box, take that deal, and not think twice about it. I know at Kansas we try to win every game and all that, but think about it. KU hasn't won in Morgantown the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Fort Worth, we've stubbed our toe there. And Austin, I'm telling you, I'm glad we're catching these guys when we are, because that's a Texas team, as you alluded to, that easily could have beaten Duke. And if they did, they're ranked 10th or 11th right now in the country.
Yeah.
Think about it. They'd be a two-loss team who's one of their only losses, other than Duke, was to a number 17 ranked Gonzaga team. And they lost to Michigan when they were without their best player at the guard position, that is, Andrew Jones. So, to me, it's a Texas club that's every bit as good as some of those teams ranked 10, 11, 12 in the national rankings right now. They just had a tough schedule and some tough breaks, you know, losing a star player for the last four games, who, by the way, Bill Self expects to see tomorrow night. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But to me, this is a year where 13-5, like Coach Self said, could win it. And yet, just when we say that, Kansas usually finds a way to circle the wagon to do one better. So maybe KU can go 14-4, 15-3, who knows. But it's definitely looking a lot tougher than it did back in October, because some of those really good teams have looked great, quite frankly, in the first 2 months. So maybe BB plus turns into A-minus on some of those teams. I'm still not sure there's like a second elite-level team like you had a couple of years ago when Buddy Hield was in the conference and had two of the top two nationally in terms of standing. I don't know that we'll see that emerge, but, man, you've got a lot of stout teams, 2 through 7, in this Big 12 pecking order.
Who do you think is the biggest challenger to knock KU from the perch? Who would be the team you would pick to be the team that, if KU got knocked off the perch this year, who would you place your bet on?
Well, I still think it's West Virginia, and I'm not just going off of rankings. I just think that some of the veterans they have on that team, the Hall of Fame coach, a home venue where they have as good a shot to go 8-1 at home as Kansas does at Allen Fieldhouse, not saying it's equal to Allen Fieldhouse, but saying if anybody could come close to holding serve almost every home game, it's them. And yet, if you look at their Big 12 history, there's always a stub your toe game or two where they lose to somebody up there, and you're like, how do they win there, but we lose there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is a veteran-led guard team that I think has a chance to be really, really good. Having said that, TCU looks great. Jamie Dixon's a Hall of Fame coach, too. Texas Tech's going to surprise a lot of people this year. And like I said, I've been high on Texas and Oklahoma since we were talking back in October from Kansas City at Big 12 Media Days. And I told you, these are the two teams I think make a huge jump. Because look at everybody they bring back, and then they add in Trey Young in Norman and Muhammad Bamba in Austin. And these guys are pros. So, I mean, Kansas didn't add anybody like that.
Uh-huh.
Not yet, at least.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes for a really compelling league race for sure. But I do think West Virginia and Bob Huggins is probably the toughest threat to the throne based on the way they've handled Kansas up at the WVU Coliseum the last 4 years.
All right, so how does KU match up against Texas tomorrow night? What are some things that could cause problems for the Jayhawks in Austin tomorrow?
You know, I think Bamba's the guy that you have to worry about the most, because we talked about a lot of length when Kansas took on Kentucky, and they had six players with a wingspan of 7 feet or more. Bamba, imagine this. He's sitting in the studio with you right now, and you've got that Coke Zero can that's like 10 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
He could probably take one step and grab it. Mm-hmm. His wingspan is 7 feet 9 inches tall, or long, I should say. And I've seen some places write that it's actually closer to 8 feet on the wingspan,
wow,
which is ridiculous. I mean, just absolutely nuts. And so to me, Bamba and his ability to alter shots, if not block them, his ability to make you think twice about driving the ball, that's going to be interesting, because we saw how that affected Kansas in their inability to score at a higher rate versus Kentucky. And we've seen Kansas do well against Link since then, but not Link like this. He's number 3 in blocks per game nationally. I think he's the guy you worry about the most. But if they get Jones back, he's a difference maker. That's a McDonald's All-American who's had the fractured wrist and missed the last 4 games. But he's awfully, awfully good and scoring for 15 a game before the injury.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I know it's difficult because I don't know if Preston's going to be cleared or be eligible to play or not. D'Souza, we don't know what he'll bring to the table. He hasn't played yet for KU. But look in your crystal ball, and what's your prediction for KU record in the Big 12, and do you believe they win a 14th straight conference title, and do they do it outright, or they win it outright, or they have to share it?
I think, I did an interview about 2 months ago before the bad week happened. Washington, Arizona State. And I really felt like at that time, the way Kansas was rolling, they could be a team that loses one non-con game and goes 16-2 in the league and ultimately is a three-loss team heading into the Big 12 tournament. Obviously, I've had to kind of break down a little bit here after a two-loss week and looking at how good the rest of the Big 12 conference has been. I'll stand by my confidence, though, that once we get rolling in this league, Kansas will play better than what some are forecasting coming in. Right now, you listen to folks talking around the rest of the conference, they all still respect Kansas, but they kind of feel like maybe this is the year we get them. Because mm-hmm. look at how good everybody else is, and a rising tide raises all ships, right?
Yep.
Well, I still think that guy on the sidelines in Lawrence, Kansas, that now has a Hall of Fame ring, that senior group of guards that are the straws that stir this Kansas drink, I'll bet on those guys any day of the week. Been there in those moments before, and you got a lot of guys that are now looking like contenders in the Big 12 Conference, but they've not racked up the number of games, the skins on the wall that Devontae Graham and Seattle Mackay Luke and some of these guys have. If they finally get some help on the back line and become a deeper team in the post, I think Kansas wins this thing with three games to go in the league. And by that I mean it's sewn up, at least a share of it, with a week and a half left. And to me, if that's the case, then it wasn't 13-5 that won the league. It was probably closer to 15-3 that won the league.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas will be beaten, and they'll be beaten multiple times, and they'll probably be beaten three or four times, quite frankly. But at the end of the day, in a league this good, you got a lot of teams that have looked good in non-conference play. Even Oklahoma State beats Florida State when they were 9-0, and you have to stand up and take note of that for the first-year head coach. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the team that has experience winning in those big game moments, has experience coming back from being down when they look down and out. I'm going to go with the Hall of Fame coach that makes better in-game adjustments than anybody else in the league. And I'm going to say that they win this thing without sharing, and they win this thing maybe a game or two faster than what folks are forecasting right now because they find a way to put it all together. Now, that can look different over these next 2.5 weeks if they don't get two of those three road games that I just mentioned a second ago. But I think that they will, and I think that they'll put it together in a way that we'll look back on it and say, wow, that was a really deep, really good league, and yet the cream still rose to the top. And on a year where Kansas made history for the greatest stretch of conference dominance in terms of consecutive conference titles, they did it in easily the deepest, most impressive league in the country. And so for anybody with East Coast media bias or Bill Walton, Pac-12, pound your chest love, you have to stand up, tip your cap, and salute it to Bill Self and the Jayhawks because they won the best, deepest league in America, and they did it with a week and a half to go.
I like that. I'm waffling a little bit between 14-4, 13-5. I originally had 14-4. That was I think even before they had the two losses in that week. I think I'll stick with 14-4 for now. But I would agree with what you said, Coach Self mentioned. 13-5 could very well win this league outright. I think what happens when everybody talks about so many great teams in this league or teams that are better than you think, that the league is deeper. People talk about, well, that's more games that KU could lose than in the past. Well, that's true. But that also applies to every other team in the conference where they're going to kind of cannibalize each other to where there might be a lot of, 10-8, 11-7 teams. And then, boom, KU doesn't lose that game at Texas Tech that West Virginia does. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole difference. KU, the reason they win these titles year in and year out is they don't trip up with games they're supposed to win. They usually win those games, especially on the road. They find a way, whereas these other teams somehow trip up against somebody. You're like, how did they lose that game? And that's the difference between winning this league and not.
Let's look at it from a home versus away standpoint. Let's say, conservatively speaking, KU does lose another home game, which sounds crazy to lose two games in Allen Fieldhouse in the same season.
Sure.
But let's say they go 8-1.
Yep.
I can find six wins on the road of the remaining nine. Can you?
Yes.
Because there's three that they should win,
right.
And then if you just go 500 in the other ones that are really tough,
yep.
Then you're 14-4 right there.
Yep.
And to me, if you're 14-4, you win this thing outright.
I agree.
So it all begins with protecting the home court, and I think they'll do that. I'm not one that's, too worried about the Arizona State loss because they ran into a really good team at the wrong time. And, you're going to face some good teams in Allen Fieldhouse, but you're going to be so much better. And Bill Self said it the very day after that loss to the Sun Devils. He said, hey, they were the better team yesterday. Yesterday.
Yes.
3 weeks from now, they may not be. And he wasn't just talking about adding Silvio or Billy. He was saying, my team's going to grow. My team's going to develop. And, hey, man, he's getting after these guys. They went 2-a-day yesterday. they are absolutely, this is kind of the year where, the time of year where you ratchet it up, the intensity and everything. And we're seeing that. And consequently, we're seeing great growth out of these guys. So be excited, Jayhawk fans. It's going to be a tough road coming up here these first 3 weeks. But, man, I think our guys are ready for the challenge. And you look at it, Bill Self's never lost a Big 12 conference opener. And I don't think it starts on Friday night. I really don't.
It's going to be interesting, the narrative. If KU wins tomorrow night, which I think they will, there's going to be a lot of talk. Well, okay, KU won at Texas. They're going to be just fine, and they'll win another title. And if they lose, people will be jumping off a cliff, some people, nationally going, okay, there you go. This is the year KU's going down. It's like, dude, don't overreact to one game. It's a marathon, not a sprint, especially in this conference. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian, before we let you go. What TV show used to be on TV that you watched that you would like to return to network television? I bring this up because Roseanne is coming back. Will and Grace came back. There was a limited edition of X-Files run on Fox that came back. What show would you like to see come back to network television?
Full House came back.
That's true.
Arrested Development came back. Yeah. People forget Family Guy came back. Family Guy was like a one or two and done type thing. And then there was an underground, you know, community that was bootlegging copies of Seth MacFarlane's 1999 creation, and Fox found out about that, put it on TV, and it hasn't left since. I think sometimes, you know, there's a second chance, and exactly what these programs need. One to bring back, man, that's a tough call, because honestly, Arrested Development was one of my all-time favorites, and they brought it back for one season 10 years later, and they talked about a movie, and they never got anything after that. Man, I'm trying to get something that's relatively sporty.
I'll give you mine real quick. Mine's Cheers. Sure. Mine's Cheers. And the reason mine's Cheers is all of the main characters are still alive. You could put that TV show on right now, setting in a bar, and it would still be pertinent and relative to what is happening today. Even though the show ended years ago, it would still work in today's society on network TV.
I like that. That's a great answer. And I didn't realize they were all still alive. That would have been my first question.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're looking like these days, but if all they have to do is sit around and raise a glass from
exactly.
bar top to chin, I think they can pull that off.
That's all they got to do.
Exactly. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit more. It's funny. My interest in TV shows would surprise you, and it would probably cost me some man card points. I used to love the show One Tree Hill back in the day because it had basketball, had pretty girls, but it was kind of like the Teeny Bopper WB type show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that again, but again, that's not what your average demographic wants. So before I embarrass myself any further with TV shows I'd love to bring back that probably are more likely to be in your wife's DVR than in your own,
yeah,
maybe I'll just stop right there. But, there's plenty of classic comedies over the years that ended far too soon. I'll tell you this much. Here's a great answer.
Okay.
Give me the TV show of Barry Sanders that retired at the age of 30 and had at least 3,000 or 4,000 yards left in the tank.
Uh-huh.
That was made for TV.
Yes.
Best of my lifetime must watch appointment television stuff.
Uh-huh.
If I could somehow get him back in pads and get the 3 or 4 seasons we lost on him back, that guy, he was as good as I've ever seen. And I know I'm totally changing the question now, but, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't give us all that we could have had out of him because injuries really took over when he was at Cincinnati Reds, and he wasn't the same Griffey he was the first 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan went away from basketball for a year and a half after the passing of his father. Feel a little bit cheated as a sports family missed out on that greatness. Houston Rockets fans don't. They won 2 titles because of it. Otherwise, it might have been 8 straight. But, man, if you want to talk sports television, give me the 2 years we lost from Jordan, the 5 or 6 we lost to injury and just underwhelmingness in Cincinnati from Griffey, and the 4 that could have been awesome from Barry Sanders. And I realize I'm talking about a 34-year-old running back, but that guy did things at 30. Yeah. Most guys don't do at 22. So those would be the guys I'd like to stack on television, even though that's not exactly what you initially asked.
I would throw one in there. I just saw the highlight video of his MVP season, Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose ravaged by injuries. If he would have stayed healthy when he was the MVP of the league, I mean, that guy was unbelievable. I'd love to see him come back fully healthy and see what he could do. And just to help you out and make you feel a little bit better, some of my guilty pleasures, if they came back, I'd be okay with it. Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210, and Party of Five.
I love it. You know, Beth Campbell and a whole bunch of cuties. Tiffany Amber Thiessen in there. I mean, anybody that wants to say that's emasculating and pulling the man card, just say, man, look at the cuties that are on those shows. That's why I was watching Lakers. Absolutely. I like that logic. And Bo Jackson's the other name we didn't mention.
Yes.
That got cut way too short. Would love to have seen what he could have done with 7 or 8 more years that he was robbed of after the hip injury.
Yeah, best athlete I've ever seen. Hey, have a safe travels to Austin. Bring back a W. We'll talk about the games next week with you.
Sounds good. And let's, you know, if it stays cold outside, let's huddle up and stay in with a party of five watch party. Just binge watch for like 10 hours straight, don't you?
I will try to go find those DVDs.
Bring the hot cocoa. I'll bring the Neff Campbell, and we'll have a merry time.
That sounds good, buddy. Take care.
See you,
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, best in the business, and he's brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Stop by and see Matt Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701.